Welcome to the Rock.
Welcome to the BGP Lounge, everybody. Grab a smoking jacket, maybe a cigar, maybe a pipe, your favorite drink. Find a comfortable place to sit and get ready for the soothing sounds of Josh Thomas. Yes, Josh Thomas, that safety you've seen running around in the backfield at App State for the past four seasons. You know, he redshirted in 2015, but he's part of one of the most successful groups of App State players that have ever come through the program. And listen, we've always been a fan of Josh Thomas. We actually got to talk to him in Media Day 2018. And he was actually the first player we ever recorded with on video. We had a great time and we had really hit it off with him there and have had a great relationship with him. Albeit, you know, from a distance, you know, he was a player, you know, you got to see him around, maybe Mountaineer talk or, you know, just around. But we've always been huge fans of Josh Thomas. He's in Texas right now getting ready for Pro Day, hopefully going to play at the next level. We've had a great time watching number seven, you know, play for App State. We've done such a great job developing, you know, defensive players, you know, over these past 5 years. Really, really pulling for him. Of course, we pull for everybody that comes through App State, but we have a great conversation with Josh. Talks about his favorite memories being at App State, what he thought about the 2019 year, how we got to App, you know, the stuff that you've grown to know and love with the BGP and Lounge episodes. But do you want to remind everybody, go to supportbgp.com, sign up for the 333 Club. Every member counts. You get access to our Facebook group, private Facebook group. You know, a lot of people request to be added. Right now, eight people requested to be added this week to the 333 Club. They're not patrons. They didn't go to the site to sign up to join the 333 Club on Patreon. Go to supportbgp.com, and then you'll have access to the private Facebook group. But if you haven't signed up at supportbgp.com, you're not getting in. Plain and simple as that. And we make a lot of content, so if you appreciate the content that Charles and I make each and every week, please consider going to supportbgp.com and check them out. Do you want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Z-Box Mattress, Stiles Roofing at stilesroof.com, and Ben McKeithen, your App State home and auto insurance guy. You can call or text Ben, 828-964-3530. We have great sponsors. It's great. But anyway, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, you're going to hear the soothing sounds, like I said, of App State safety. Recent graduate preparing for Pro Day, hopefully playing in the NFL very, very soon, Josh Thomas.
We just bought Cullinan just to maintain. I talked to my brother near me on the same day.
We just trying to motivate by the AP show.
All right, now we have another recently graduated senior App State captain. We've seen him play for the last 4 years. He's been on the team 5 years. We call him the Mayor Montgomery, but, you know, we're going to ease up on that a little bit. I mean, we, you know, we've been using that. It's getting old. We need something new. So when he's in the NFL, we'll pick something out. But we have Josh Thomas making his Black and Gold podcast debut. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here. I've been a long-time listener, and I'm happy to be on here.
Awesome. So before we hit the record button, we were chatting it up a little bit before Charles got back from Mountaineer Talk, and we talked about how some have said, and I'm not saying a lot of people are saying this, but I have heard it said that, you know, what, or speculated, you know, what would have happened had last year's coaching staff, the 2018 coaching staff, Coach Satterfield, everybody else, had been in charge of this team, had basically not gone to Louisville, would we have had the same outcome with the P5 games? And Josh, you pretty emphatically said, yeah, for sure. And I agree with that. But then we started talking about the different P5s we've played over time. And it's been since 2015, man, it's been serious. We've played some serious teams. Yeah. And that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, I feel like Coach Sat, those are his first times really being in close games with Power Fives these last couple of years. And this year, I feel like they all culminated. Like, all the experience that we had losing those games, it finally showed. And we finally were able to make the plays we needed to in the fourth quarter. And I feel like either Coach Drink or Coach Sat was there, I feel like we would have been able to make those plays. And then, like you said, man, since 2015, we played some really good teams. Like, we played Deshaun Watson the year he won the Heisman, the year he won the championship. We played Georgia the year they went to the college football playoff and lost on that crazy throw by Tua. Penn State was a top 10 team. They finished like 10-2 or 9-3, something like that. And so those were really good teams. And, man, that experience really helped us this year. And I feel like it really put us over the top. And it was kind of needed for us to get to that next level that we got to this year.
Which game I'm sorry, go ahead, Charles.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Since we're starting off like right out of the gates, like daggum Kentucky Derby, hot and heavy down the front stretch. Was this year, 2019, this past year, is that a senior class thing or more of a culmination of growth? If you can find a difference in the two.
I feel like it was a culmination of growth because our class was so small. There's only so much we could do on the field. We definitely had a lot of great players in that class, but had a lot of young guys step up too as well. That some of them didn't even play in those games, but they still stepped up and made a lot of plays. So it's really a culmination of the culture of the team, and just the senior class being leaders and bringing those young guys along. I felt like because we had a lot of guys step up this year that coming into camp, we really didn't know who was going to step up, but when their name was called, they did it. And man, I couldn't be more thankful for those guys because we really needed them this year.
Who are you talking about? Let's talk about some names.
Let's talk like on the O-line, Cooper Hodges coming in freshman, just being a star on the offensive line, being a guy who we really could depend on down there. And then on defense, Trey Cobb, Nick Ross, and then shooting the North Carolina game, we had half our team cramping, Mike Price and Milan Tucker. They all went out there and made a lot of – Stephen Jones, they went out there and made plays when we needed them. Just stuff like that is why we were able to win the championship this year, because guys, when our name was called, they were ready. And so when stuff like that happens, I feel like we can be anybody.
Do you think you were ready to be a senior leader this year? I mean, I think you're made for it, but when that time came and fall camp came around, you feel like you were ready to be that guy?
Oh, yeah. That's just something I knew once Michael left. And once he left, I knew that somebody had to step up, and I was ready for that role, and I had been preparing myself. I had been thinking about it all summer and just trying to be that leader. They're doing summer workouts and conditioning, stuff like that. So when spring ball came, everybody knew who the leaders were on our team, and I just wanted to be one of those guys that everybody could depend on. And whenever times get tough, just look at me and know that I'm going to lead us into the charge, lead us into the war or into the game, and just be ready to do whatever to win the game. So yeah, I was definitely prepared for that.
Yeah, you were. I mean, you did a great job. You were a vocal leader too. You're a great player, but you know how to talk, man. You're a great talker. Did you know that? You know you're a good talker.
I never really liked talking that much.
Oh, come on.
I've been trying to work on that. I'm not like public speaking is not my strong suit, but I definitely had to do it a lot this year. So,
but you're natural. You're natural at it, though, Josh. I mean, yeah. Anytime you've appeared in front of the media, any situation after a game, Mountaineer talk, whatever it may be, I mean, you don't feel like you're scared of the mic at any point.
No, I don't. I just want to be authentic, man. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to seem anything just like scripted or fake or anything like that. I just want to tell people how I feel straight off the cuff, and that's how I approach it. So appreciate it. Thank you. That means a lot.
Well, I mean, of course, we gave you your big break at Media Day
2018. That was my first real like media. I was like, yeah, man, I'm on Black and Gold, podcast. And to me,
hey, can we claim that we gave Noah Anna his break too? I mean, is that possible?
Oh, you did. Like, you unleashed a monster in that one. Just wait. Hey, shout out to Boss Hannon, man. That's the real mayor. Shout out to the mayor. So he graduated. He's gonna try and get on like 8 pods. That's my guy. Noah, man. You know you're my guy, man. Don't take that personal. No, it's all love, baby.
He knows. He can dish it out. He can take it. He can dish it out.
He can dish it out with the best of them now. Don't forget that.
No question about it. Hey, so kind of hanging around the topic of this P5 conversation. Which game was more meaningful for you personally? Was it Carolina or USC?
I'd have to say USC, because coming off that loss and just seeing our team bounce back literally like 10 days later, it just showed a lot about our team and showed how much fight we have, and just guys didn't let go of the rope, as our coaches would say. Just they kept fighting, even though things didn't go right that Thursday. We came back that next week and we did everything we could to win that game, and we came out with the result we wanted, and just we had to fight till the very last play. and just seeing the celebration, seeing the smiles on everybody's faces when they say we won, it was all worth it, man. It's just so much hard work going into that game. It was incredible, honestly. Going into Williams-Brice, playing Sandstorm, you can't explain it. Just that feeling, like winning that game and hearing the hush of the crowd and hearing the fans cheer, is something special for sure.
So that's what I wanted to ask about real quick, Josh. Is I don't know if we've gotten into this as much because I guess of how when we played USC, it was after Georgia Southern, and we all know what happened in those games. But from your standpoint, how important? And I hate asking this because it seems lazy. How important is it for the team to hear the fans travel to a place where they shouldn't? You know, like we shouldn't have a lot of fans in Chapel Hill. We shouldn't have a lot of fans in Columbia, but we do because we want to be there. And what does that mean? Do y'all get a lift from that on the sidelines to hear us or whatever it may be, or to see us? Does that go into, you know, any type of hype that you build up throughout the, like, a pregame and moving into the gameplay?
I mean, I wouldn't, like, helping on the game-wise, but definitely just seeing our fans out there just gives us a little boost, I would say that, because knowing we're going into a hostile environment, know the fans going to be against us, and just seeing, we know our section, I know our family's going to be there, but just seeing how Black and Gold just kind of took over the bottom rim of the stadium is just incredible. Just like when I walked out there for the coin toss, I was really like shocked to see how much Black and Gold was out there in the stands. Like I really couldn't believe it. Like I knew it was gonna have one section, but like we had like half of the lower bowl on our sideline. Like it was incredible. Just and then when they started doing the stay, when they started doing that cheers, just I don't know. It just kind of felt not took over the stadium, but they knew we were there, and just they knew that we weren't like just some regular old group of five school coming in just to play another game, that we really wanted this game. And so it definitely means a lot that our fans travel and they love to come watch us play. And man, our team just love being in front of our fans, because we know that y'all don't invest as much as we do, but y'all are invested in the team, and that means a lot for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Does anybody feel like and maybe I'm alone here, that each group, the team, the fans, cheerleaders, band, whatever it may be, feed off each other, like back and forth throughout the entirety of like a big game like that, whether it be a home game, bowl game, Power Five game?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like you can just feel the energy in the stadium, like especially at home games, just that first quarter when somebody makes a big play, or if even the other team makes a big play, you can kind of feel just the anxiousness in the stadium, just wanting us to do well. And we feel that as well. And just, I mean, we always want to make the big play, but we always got to do our job. So it's kind of a balance, but definitely, like, when we make a play, we definitely going to feed off the fans, because we know y'all going to get loud. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere every time. And so, man, when those fans get to rocking and kick, bro, it's special. It's special, man. I can't lie to you. We definitely feed off of that.
Yeah. You know, obviously you've been around for a lot of games. There's been a discussion that we've had back and forth about this year in particular with travel. Now, unfortunately, I was unable to go to the USC game. I had obviously a lot of friends that went, obviously watched every second of it on TV, and then I was at the Carolina game. But I don't think I've ever seen us travel with such volume in both just having so many people there, but also in just being loud as we have those two games. Now, you've been to the Penn State, the Georgia, the Clemson. I mean, you've been on the road to Tennessee. Has there been another game where we have represented better on the road? I guess it doesn't have to just be the P5s, but have we represented on the road better than we did at USC and UNC in your career?
My career, probably not. I don't think so. Maybe like Georgia State one time when we went down there. Yeah. We had like stadium full, but UNC and USC, I was really like surprised just to see how many fans that we had in the stadium alone. Because I knew people wanted to come to the game. I was like, I really don't know how they're going to get in, honestly. Like I don't know how they're going to get in, because this is their stadium. But our fans found a way, man, and we couldn't be more thankful just to see our fans out there cheering us on like that. When we make a play, you can just hear it. And then Charlotte last year.
Yeah,
too.
That's right.
Charlotte last year, we had like half the stadium was our fans.
That's
so
a bunch.
Just knowing that our fans are going to travel and they're going to support and cheer and be loud and just – try to literally take out the other team's home crowd is definitely a big advantage, and I don't think other teams expected that for sure.
Just remember, JT, that Charlotte brought an extra stands for their own fans, not for us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the narrative.
They brought like 2,000 more seats, and we were the only people in those seats. Like,
yeah. Hey, gold pops on the road. It's what we've been saying, man. Gold pops on the road. People wearing gold in the stands.
It definitely does. If you wear gold, it just literally is like, oh, yeah, we ain't here today for
that's
sure.
That's exactly
like,
right. Hey,
it's a good feeling, man.
Hey, if Josh
it's a great feeling.
If Josh Thomas says it from the field level, it's got to be true. It's got to be true.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So here's something. We haven't even really talked about this, but the thing that I always think about the USC game is Bryan Edwards diving the back corner of the end zone just a few – I mean, I don't even know. I mean, it hit his hands.
Literally, like, probably, like, he needed, like, another foot, and he probably would have made that kick.
And then the game's over, and they win.
Yeah.
And
yeah, for sure.
Can you help me understand how – because you're on the field –
yeah.
How did their best player get that wide open at that moment?
Because we were playing this, like, it was kind of like a match coverage kind of. So, like, when he goes in, someone has to take him in. And so, like, the guy, the safety who was on him, he went inside, so he came off on the other route. And so when the quarterback scrambled, he kind of just got lost in the shuffle because he literally came from the other side of the field. Actually, he was to the boundary, and the quarterback actually threw it all the way to the field side corner. Where I was guarding a dig route, and I saw him run under. He ran an under route, like under the linebackers and everything. And then, like I go to guard my man, and I just turn and I see him wide open in the end zone. I'm just like, oh my, what just happened? And literally, he just ran out of space. Like it might have been a design play on their part, but it was a great play if it was. But I think he kind of just like felt it and just made a play and went for the end zone. The quarterback saw him, but he just got like it was either a great play or just pure luck. And I'm so happy he dropped it though.
Yeah, no,
it's funny, Josh, that like weeks later, I think news came out of South Carolina that Hlinski had been playing, their quarterback had been playing a lot of games with basically a blown up knee.
Yeah.
And do you think that, I mean, and that sounds like, I mean, then you got to consider, well, before we played Georgia State, the same thing happened with Ellington, is that he tore his knee up the week before. This is kind of a little off topic, but what's your opinion of, like quarterbacks playing without, you know, being completely healthy and having, you know, whether it be an ACL or a major knee injury of some sort, and having to depend on their arm more than their legs, and maybe overcompensating in certain situations?
Yeah, I mean, that's really up to those guys, man, because I know Ellington really did tear his ACL. He played the rest of the season with it, and just knowing that he was hampered, just those guys are true warriors, man, to go out there knowing their body's a little compromised and just still going to push through it for their team. I got nothing but respect for those guys going out there, but at the end of the day, we got to go out there and play the game. We can't really worry about who's hurt, who's not hurt, because we got guys on our team who are banged up as well. And so,
sure.
I mean, if he's out there, we have to treat it just as if he's healthy, as good as he can be to go out there and play. So, I mean, we can't worry about who's injured and who's not. We just got to go out there and play because he's out there. But I didn't even know Hlinski was supposedly hurt. I thought he looked fine versus us. So,
it came out a couple of weeks after we had played him, or maybe even longer than that, but you know, he was in an incredible, like, he was very stuck to the pocket in our game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Because, I mean, we really didn't try and, like, keep him in the pocket or anything. We just wanted to make him read us, make plays after the snap, kind of, like, make him not know what coverage we were in. So, I mean, if he was, I really didn't notice. But, I mean, if he's out there, I feel like their trainers and stuff would clear him. So, I mean, if he's out there, we got to play the game. We can't 100%. Really be worried about who's injured, who's not, because a lot of guys on our team are banged up, and I promise you that nobody cared.
just trying to get that win.
Yeah, for sure. You're just trying to go out there and get a W, man. That's all we can worry about at that point.
Yeah, no joke. Hey, what are you doing right now? Let's let the people know what Josh Thomas is up to.
I'm actually in Frisco, Texas, training for the pro day, stuff like that. Actually competing in this all-star game called the College Gridiron Showcase. It wasn't a game, but it was more of a showcase. Just three practices to get me in front of scouts and stuff. Did pretty well at that. Then I'm out here in Frisco training at Michael Jordan's Performance. It's a training facility that does really well with guys trying to get into the NFL. So taking it day by day, just trying to get better with my 40 time and my DB drill and stuff like that. So I've been out here for about 2 weeks now, just trying to get better, man, trying to get ready for pro day and hopefully be ready in April.
You having fun?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely different, but, man, it is fun just learning new stuff every day and just a lot of big-time guys out here just seeing that even those guys know about App State is kind of crazy. They've seen us on TV and stuff like that. And so, like, a lot of big-name guys. Jerry Judy's training at this facility. Van Jefferson, the kid from Florida, the receiver, and Tyree Cleveland. It's like, hey man, what's good? You know, I was like, App State. It's like, yeah, man, y'all guys are cold. Like, y'all are cold. I've seen y'all seen them on TV and stuff like that. And so, I mean, stuff like that, little stuff like that, means a lot to us. Just know that people have seen us in like all those national televised games are actually being seen by people in the country. And so, stuff like that, it goes a long way for sure.
Well, football. Hey,
I'm gonna pick on AJ real quick there, Josh. hey AJ, who's Jerry Judy?
He plays for Alabama.
Oh, darn. I thought I had him. what position?
Wide receiver. He's really good.
Oh, God. You had him pulled up.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. He's odd. No.
I'm just kidding.
Come
I'm just
on. Kidding.
Hey,
on.
That's crazy, though. I mean, we talked last week with Vic a little bit about, you know, he's on the far west coast about.
Yeah.
You know, he's hanging out with those. Seattle. No, Vic is hanging with those hippies out in Seattle.
So I said far west coast.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome.
Whatever. and he talking to like Washington players about App and stuff like that, and it's just, I think that's just a really interesting like little sub story of our guys trying to make that leap to the NFL is you know, you're working with other guys who have played in college football and like what's their, you know, opinion of App and what they know about us, and that's something that we don't get to hear like on an everyday basis, and coming straight from, you know, elite college players, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I was definitely surprised that they even like knew what, like even heard of App State. Like the fact that they even was like, yeah, man, I seen y'all play. Like y'all are really good. Like y'all got a great team. I was really surprised that they even like knew. But honestly, like this year, we definitely put ourselves on the map. And
yeah, man,
it's great for the program. Just got to keep building. Them boys are gonna keep building. I know they will.
Oh man, this is perfect. So. We get a lot of people that, you know, after last year especially, and then this year they're starting to trickle in as, you know, people are kind of giving us questions to, or statements to talk about in our weekly episodes. Is this the greatest App team of all time? What's the greatest App team of all time? You know, there's a million ways you can answer that question, but I'm going to ask you.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm going to ask
you. I love asking that. They literally say that every year. Just like,
they do.
The greatest. I'm like, I have no idea.
No, listen. Like, we did this to Alex Gray, to Keenan Gilchrist. We've done it to everybody. I want you to tell me. I want you to tell us. You're up here 5 years. You didn't really play your freshman year. Your true freshman year, really. You know, you get that red shirt. But best team you played on? Which year?
Best team. It would either have to be my freshman year or this year.
Really?
I don't know. 2018 was pretty special too. We went 11-2. We were incredible. It was either freshman year or this year, because we went 11-2. Freaking Taylor Lamb, like those guys, Ronald Blair, that team was freaking special. Like I didn't even realize how much talent we had until they all were gone. So I'd hate picking, but since I was playing this year, I probably have to say this year, because man, we were stacked. We had all 22 starters were just players. Like everybody can make a play at any time. And so I definitely have to say this year, 2019, man, went 13-1. Won a conference, won the bowl game, just did literally everything we could to get into that New Year's Six bowl. Just came up short one game. I feel like this is probably the best team I played on. Just so much talent. Like I really just had to go out there and do my job. I didn't have to press. Didn't have to like do anything extra. Just had to be myself. And so that's all I can ask for on a team that's this good, honestly.
Yeah, look, man, how are you going to argue 13-1? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty incredible. And, you know, listen, I don't want to talk about sad stuff, but what happened on Halloween?
They played, I'm not going to lie, Georgia Southern played probably the best game I think they played the whole year, honestly. Like,
mm-hmm.
their triple option was hitting, like, it hit like I've never seen on film before. Like, Wesley Kennedy, number 12, was making plays left and right. Like, their quarterback, Shaw Wertz was making, he was making all the right reads. He was locked in that game, dialed in. And then their defense, man, just, they made every play. They made every single play. And we kind of stepped on our own feet a lot that game too. We couldn't get our own way with penalties and we couldn't get the momentum going until literally like the very end. And then we had a chance at the end and we didn't make the plays that we needed to in the fourth quarter. And that's what it comes down to, man. In football, you got to make the plays when they call your name, and we didn't. And so that's the result we got, and you just got to live with it at the end of the day. But Georgia Southern played incredible, man. They deserved to win that game, in my opinion. They played as good as they played their best game that year, I think. They came out there and they did what they were supposed to do. And so, I mean, I just got to tip my hat to them, honestly. I was definitely mad, but like after watching the film, it was just, man. It's just football sometimes, how the game goes. And so charge it to the game, and man, went to next week. That's all I could do at that point.
I think it was the most shocking loss that I can remember in recent memory, maybe not of all time, but I mean, we had every, you know, and I'm beating a dead horse here, but we had every opportunity, not every opportunity, but I mean, yeah, maybe we did.
We had a lot of chances to come back and win that game, and we just couldn't do it, man. It was definitely like, just like, dang, man, we cannot make the one play that we need. And it just sucked.
But I'm talking about even motivation, too, because, you know, down in Statesboro last year, Zach gets hurt on, like, the third play. And you're like, well, yeah, who knows what happens? You know, unfortunately, Houston and Derek, they didn't play very well coming in for Zach. So you're like, well, we'll never know. We didn't play with Zach, you know, they're behind the offensive line. We don't know what would have happened had we had our guy back there, our quarterback. Then we did at home, ranked, all this good stuff. And it's like, what is happening? So it was wild, man. It was wild. It was wild to watch. And the only blemish, really, of the whole year, you know, was that against those guys. Why'd it have to be against those? Is that your least favorite team to play, Georgia Southern, or is it something else?
Probably because just, man, it's so much. It's not hate, but it's so much history behind that game, like, and you know they're going to come out on fire. And we came out ready. We were definitely motivated. Like, nobody overlooked them or anything, man. They just came out there and played, like, really hard and just played really good and executed. So, but, yeah, man, playing against those guys, when I see that blue helmet, man, it's just it's a whole different ball. It's a whole different ball game, honestly, just going out there and playing against those guys, man. I'm definitely going to miss playing them, but it sucks that I lost my last one to them for sure.
It's like you said, sometimes things happen and – in football games, and sometimes you lose your bowl game, and we won't know what that's like.
Yeah, that's true too.
5-0, baby. Hey, how did you get to App State? What's the story about you getting App State?
It's kind of a crazy story because coming out of high school, actually App State was my first FBS football offer. They offered me in like February or January of like 2014, my junior year, like their coach Song came down to my school. Literally the first time I met him, he offered me a scholarship to come play football, and just ever since then they always recruited me, they always kept in touch, and I was just like, I honestly never really heard of App. And so I asked some other, I had a bunch of offers because I played quarterback, so I really wanted to play offense, but Coach Sloan said he think I could play defense and he think I could be really good at it, so I definitely gave him a chance. But I didn't even know how far it was from from Montgomery, honestly. And so I was actually going to go to UAB, which is crazy because we played them in the bowl game. But that was actually the year that they shut down the program.
Wow.
In 2015. So I haven't committed yet, but I know in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to UAB. Like, I'm going to find a school and all that. And so it's probably the second week in January. I'm watching the news at my grandma's house. And literally, I just see it on it literally just pops up, like, breaking news. UAB shuts down football, golf, and, like, three other sports because they don't have enough money. And I'm just, like, I'm sitting there just, like my grandma doesn't know, my mom doesn't know, nobody knows that I wanted to go there. I'm just, like, I'm shocked. I have no idea what's happening. So I tried to call Coach Clark, and he's just, like, yeah, man. Like, I don't even think he picked up the phone. Like, I just saw it, like, the program got shut down or whatever. And I was just like, well, I got to find somewhere else. So, like, the next day I called Coach Sloan. He told me that my offer was still good and, like, if I wanted to come visit. So I came up there on a visit in early February, like, probably – I came up there, like, late January, probably, like, 2 weeks before signing day. went on my visit, had a great time. AJ Howard and Doug Middleton were my host, and they just treated me like family, man. They literally treated me that, like, on my visit, how they treated me last year. Like I had been there for 5 years, and so it was a family atmosphere and just everything that I wanted out of a college, and so, and the team. Everybody treated me with so much respect, and nobody tried to treat me as like a young freshman or anything like that. And it was great. And so then Coach Sack, Coach Brown, and Coach Sloan came to my house, and my mom had a great time with him. My grandma did. And so I committed on signing day, and everything else, man, was just, it's been a blessing, honestly, that I went there. It's probably the best decision I ever made, honestly.
It says here, I'm on your recruiting profile from 24/7. I haven't looked at this probably since you signed, and I was watching, you know, back in 2015. You had offers from Troy too. I mean, well, Western Kentucky, UAB, Troy, Southern Miss, South Alabama, Bucknell, and Arkansas State.
Yeah.
So what? Out of all, there's two Alabama schools there. You didn't consider Troy or South Alabama?
Well, Troy, that was the year that they actually hired. They hired Neil Brown like the first week of February.
Yeah.
So I never really got to like get a relationship with those coaches, because that was right. They let go of Coach Blakeney.
That's right.
And then South Alabama, I don't know. I just seen their program, and I knew I didn't want to go there. It just wasn't a good program, because I had won in high school football and basketball, and I didn't want to be a part of not up and coming, but not like a rebuilding program. I don't want to talk bad about them. Just the program was just in kind of a flux position right there, and I didn't know if the coach was going to be there long. And so when I went to App and just saw like the champion, I didn't even know App had won all those championships when I got up there. I was really surprised just how much tradition was already there. And honestly, I didn't even know that App had just went to FBS. Like, that was their freshman FBS. I didn't know any of that. I just saw the team and saw the facilities, saw the coaches, and just I believed in what they were telling me. And so I went up there and just put my head down and worked, and everything else, man, just happened how it happened. And I can't be more thankful.
So the thing about this, you know, you're coming into to college and didn't know, not to your own fault, but didn't know much about App State because we weren't FBS and we were transitioning. And now that you've graduated, you exhausted your eligibility, you're training at a camp where an Alabama wide receiver who's a first-round surefire NFL draft pick has heard about App State.
And has watched their games.
Yeah.
And watched their games and knows we're good. Like, you know, how crazy is that to think about?
Yeah, well, it was the kid from Florida. It was both the Florida guys.
But okay. Yeah,
even the fact that they even seen us on TV and watched us, like, is wild. Just like you said, man, like Apps come a long way in these 5 years. Just the national exposure, just people knowing who we are and just knowing what kind of football we play. I mean, it's big. I feel like it's just even better. Like, we got a kid, David Baldwin Griffin, from California, and he's on our team. Like, that's outrageous to me. Like, I never thought we could get a kid from that far. And so just stuff like that, man. Just to see the program grow how it's grown in these last 5 years, I just can't wait to see where it goes from here.
I mean, when you came in, we weren't really recruiting Alabama at all.
I know.
That was more of a Sun Belt thing, and now we're talking about California.
I remember when I did the article. Like, I did, because when I signed, I did an article with 247 with Mr. Holloway, I think that's his name. And he was like, since we're playing Alabama schools in the Sun Belt now, App State decided to start recruiting Alabama. And it was only me and Tay Hayes were only two guys who came in our class. And then Cole Garrison and then Zach and Cam Peoples followed after him. So just being like one of the first guys from Alabama to really go to App, it was definitely just different. I just wanted to be a little different, because I know I wanted to do something. I know I wanted to go somewhere where I could really work and not worry about being at home, or worry about I just want to be somewhere I know I could just focus on what I need to focus on, school and work on football. And so I know when I got there that's what I'll be able to do. And so it was definitely different. It was definitely change of pace from Alabama, but it was definitely worth it.
How was it the change
how
of pace?
How was it? How was it a change of pace?
Besides the obvious.
My first winter was tough, man. I got sick like three times in the spring semester alone. Wow. Me and Anthony Florey got like we had, what did we have? We had like tonsillitis or something, like something I've never heard of. Like I was in bed for like a week and a half, just like couldn't eat or anything, just so sick because it's so cold outside. I didn't have a coat, like I didn't have like a real coat. Like I've never been in, like, I remember like the first time it snowed, I was like, I'm not going outside. Like, what are y'all talking about? People were like skiing down the mountain. I'm like, I'm not going out there. Like, oh, this is ridiculous. And like, it was so cold one time. Like, it's like, do not go outside if you have any skin like revealed, or you'll get a frostbite. I'm just like, what? This is like unreal. Like, where are we? Like, I did not know like what kind of place this was, but definitely like after that, I got used to the snow and I really enjoyed it. The cold walks, the class and stuff wasn't fun, but
no.
It was definitely a great experience for sure.
I don't care where you're from. The cold walks to class in the morning are never fun. I don't care if you're an Eskimo. Oh, yeah. They're not fun.
It's a different type of animal. Yeah, I can't watch it.
Yeah.
A different type of animal.
So, you know, I love talking to guys like you because, you know, you're fresh off of this incredible journey that we've, fortunately, Charles and I have seen every snap you've played. I mean, that's just a really cool thing to say. But, you know, you come here in 2015, make a visit. Wow, look at all the tradition. Wow, look at the championships. Wow, you know, App's had a lot of great teams. They've had a lot of great players. You know, blah, 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 blah. You are now etched in the history books at App State, too. You've been part of some of the greatest teams we've ever had. You've been part of the one of the most successful FCS to FBS transitions ever. You won four conference titles, five bowl games. Now you're right up there. You're part of, you know, the, you know, as you, as this young 18-year-old, 17-year-old kid walking around saying, wow, look at all this cool stuff. Somebody else is walking the halls of Kid Brewer Stadium in the future looking at the stuff that you did too. Has that hit you yet? Or is that something you have ever thought about? Like, you're part of App State history and tradition and culture now?
I mean, now that you say it, that's wild. I remember, like, we did the article with Joey Jones. He was just, like, telling us about all the stuff that we've done since we got here. And I really couldn't believe it. Like, I just thought, like, it kind of feels like that's what everybody's doing. But when you look at it, everybody's not doing that. Everybody's not winning that many games. And just when he read off, like, the record and just how many games we've won and what we've done, it was all surreal just because I was just really just being a part of the team, like just doing my job, going out there, working every day, going to practice every day, working hard and just doing everything I could to help the team win. And so when all that stuff paid off, it was definitely a blessing. But like you said, man, to be etched in history with my teammates and just to see all that hard work pay off and just know that we did a lot of great things there at App, it's definitely a blessing. And I don't know, man. It's just, it hasn't hit me for sure, but
it is wild.
Me and Vic were kind of talking about, like, when we come back, like, for our reunion, like, I know we have a reunion at some point, but, like, when we come back, maybe it'll hit me then, just, like, how much we've done at App on the field and just how great it was, especially for these past 5 years.
Hey, don't wait for, like, a 5 or 10 or 15-year reunion, because we do this 6 times a year on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's weekly, you know.
I'll definitely try to make a game this year for sure. I got to. Because I've never watched a game at Kid Brewer as a fan. How crazy is that? Like, I didn't come to a game as a recruit. My first game at was literally Howard, my freshman year when I played. Like, I've never watched a game as a fan.
Well, you know, and that's what's so cool for us. You know, we can look back and, you know, when we did an episode with Ronald Blair, you know, it was 5 years ago. We did an episode with Ronald Blair who was, you know, fresh off his App State journey and kind of looking back and telling stories about how, you know, he got recruited as a SoCon recruit in the FCS days out of Georgia. And now look what we all look at Ronald Blair as. That's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, defensive lineman that's ever come out of App State.
Ronald Blair was a monster.
Well, hey, man, people are going to be talking about Josh Thomas at safety now, too, though. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say is, like, you're part of that now, and you were just some, you know, young punk kid, you know, walking around saying, I want to play football here. But now you're training at Michael Johnson's, you know, facility in Texas and carrying the App name very proudly. And it's so cool. I love talking to guys that are in training. You know, we've done this for the past several years where, you know, we're talking to guys that are graduated and they're ready for pro day, and you don't even know what accomplishments that you've had, what it's meant to the fans. I mean, you've had, I mean, what was it that Colin Reed said that Charles, he said out of his 5 years he's got 9 ring potential, or he
basically a ring.
It'd be 9 rings. Yeah, it'd be four conference 5 bowls.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I mean, that's wild, man. I mean, and yeah, we know
that's crazy. Like,
we know App stacked still, but you guys did a great job.
Oh yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, man. It's not hard when you got fans like we have just to go out there and play hard, man, because we know everybody's going to show up. So, you know, we have that support and just, like, when we go to Walmart, people are like, "Are you playing the team?" It's so much love in that, and for Boone, for the team, and just for everybody around there. It's always great just to be up there. And so we couldn't do nothing but go there and play hard, and especially for our teammates, man. We work so hard, like, in the off season. Like, when it comes time for the game, that's the fun part. And so we just go out there and have fun and play our hearts out, man. And that's what they'll continue to do for sure.
Hey, tell us about David Baldwin Griffin. I know you mentioned him, and hey, you think you were surprised to see a California kid, you know, come on the team? I mean, we're all kind of looking, going, "What drink, you know, flew all the way out to, you know, Los Angeles?"
Yeah, when he was, kid? Yeah, he literally went to freaking Compton, California, to go to him. When I saw that he committed, I was like, "Hold on, this kid's from where? He's from Compton." I mean, David came in, man. He was definitely a little freshman when he got here, but he's definitely matured a lot his first year, and so. I mean, he's gonna be a good player. He just gotta keep his head on straight and keep doing what he's doing. I know he's gonna work hard. I know he's gonna be doing extra work. Him and Deshaun Davis and Christian Wills, they always doing extra work. Always catch him in the indoor doing something. So, I mean, those guys work hard. They just, when their time comes, they just gotta be ready. And I feel like they will be. So it's definitely gonna be. Man, I can't wait to watch App next year, the year after that, because I play with all those guys, so I can't wait to watch them get on the field and make plays.
Hey, it's the App State way, man. It's the App State way. What's the difference? Well, I mean, there's tons of differences, but in your own words, you're one of the very few players that will be able to say you played for Scott Satterfield and Coach Drinkwitz. What was that transition like, and what was Coach Drink like compared to Sat? I know there are a lot of differences, but what were they?
Yeah. Coach Sat was more of a Coach Sat was more of like laid back, just like, you know how Coach Sat is, man. Yep. He's kind of happy go lucky, just kind of going about his business every day. He's always the same person, and so Coach Drew's like that too, but just in a different way. Like Coach Sat, he's gonna say what he has to say about the team, and then he's gonna let Coach Holt come to the special team, and just, I always knew what to expect from Coach Sat. He always was gonna be even killed. He never got mad, but when he did get mad, you knew it was for some, like, somebody did something wrong or something's not right. And so, man, just go playing for Coach Sat, I know that he would go to battle for us, and he's so competitive. Like, he wants to win in everything. And that's one thing I always respected about Coach Sat. Like, when he said he's going to let us compete for the spots, he did. Like, he's always a man of his word and stuff like that. And just old school guy, just, man, just physical and all that stuff. And then Coach Drink, he brought a new way to the team, that, like, he saw football in a different way that I know I've never seen before, just with the analytics and the numbers and just how we trained and just how we practiced and stuff like that. It was very different. Like, we worked on a lot of different skills this year that really helped us, like, when like blocking punts, scooping and scoring, like all that stuff, all the little things. He kind of really, like, because he knew we were already good, so he really had to find a way to just make us better, and I feel like he did a really good job of that. Like, he really challenged us to just, we're good right now, but what can we do to get to the next level? And he really came in from literally when we met him at the bowl game, he challenged us from that point on to be better than we've ever been before in our lives. And just when he brought that challenge to our team, it kind of woke our team up a little bit more, just took away any of that complacency that we might have had from 2018, and we didn't bring any of that to 2019. I feel like he did a really good job of that, just keeping the team hungry every week. He kind of, like, now I wouldn't say like, it was kind of like a Belichick approach, just, no matter how good we did, it was always something that we could improve on. And I feel like Coach Drink did a really good job of explaining that to the team.
You know, it was easy for a lot of fans, not us, you know, we understand the economics of it. And, you know, he took the offer that everybody else would take. You know, he changed his family's
life. Yeah, man. I understand people are upset, but, like, come on, guys. What are we saying here?
Right.
$4 million. Like.
No, it's actually $4 million. It's actually, John, it's that? Actually not four minutes, $24 million.
Exactly. Yeah, what are we saying here?
Yeah. What are we saying? but, you know, and so it's easy for, I guess, the fan that maybe isn't you know, as in tune. Maybe you get a little fired up, especially when the news breaks. You know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, but it was easy to take shots at drink, and that was kind of an easy thing to do. But I want to ask you something. This is kind of a I don't know. This is, I'm not going to ask you the inverse of this, but what did drink do better than Sat?
What did he do better?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be any groundbreaking, say, but yeah.
I don't really know. I kind of felt like it was about the same. He definitely just, his approach to the games was definitely like, he was, I wouldn't say more in depth, but he would explain a lot more of the game plan to us and like why we were doing things and why certain things should work and why they shouldn't. He kind of led us into the game plan more, I would say, so players could really understand like why we running this coverage or why we running this play against this, like, so when things go wrong, like we all see what's wrong. Instead, like Coach said, we kind of just run the play and then we have to rely on the coaches to help us like fix it. But not this year, like we would see what's wrong and we'd be able to fix ourselves. You know what I mean? Just more transparency in the game plan. That definitely helped. And then, I mean, the training, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was better, but it definitely helped us stay a little bit fresher throughout the whole year. Because in my past couple of years, man, we had a lot of guys banged up by November and December, just barely making it through the season. I feel like our team was really fresh, like especially after the Georgia Southern loss, man. We need to be fresh going into South Carolina, and we were. And we were able to go out there and play as fast as we could. And so just stuff like that, I think it helped us out a lot.
Yeah, that's interesting. So in your time at App State, you primarily played for Coach Sloan and then Gasparato. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. What I'm guessing that if you were to peg your favorite coaches at App, it'd probably be the defensive backs coaches, Coach Sloan. Probably you and him had a great relationship.
Yeah, Coach Sloan, he was my recruiting coach. He recruited me since I was like 16 years old. So that's my guy, man. I missed him when he went to Georgia Southern. But yeah, it was him and Coach Brown and Coach G. Those guys, man, they really got me better as a player and just helped me develop as a man and show me how to do things the right way. And so I owe a lot to them for sure.
And now it's looking like none of those guys are going to be at App next year. Isn't that weird? The guys that you're all connected to and helped recruit you.
That coach, man, that coaching is just, it's a crazy profession, man, how things can change so fast. But yeah, just like, I know, like, it's, I heard that, is Coach G not going to be there? Is he going somewhere else?
Well, okay, so.
Maybe.
Well, so yeah, so through the grapevine and, you know, if you read the interwebs and all this other stuff, yeah, he's probably not going to be at App. I don't know how, it's hard to say what you should say, what you shouldn't say, but it's looking like he's not going to be there, yeah, that he's, dang. Yeah. Nothing bad. I mean, obviously, I certainly don't think on bad terms or anything, but it's kind of like anything else. It's opportunities that you take, right? So,
I understand that for sure. Yeah, man, that coaching is just wild. Like, there's no one, like, this coach could be here 1 year and then he's gone. Like, it is wild, but yeah, just all my DB coaches not going to be there. That's crazy.
One's wild.
But, like, we spent so much time together, man. Just know that, like, they gotta move on and take care of their family, man. It's just,
you gotta do it.
It's different, man. That coaching is different. It's so different.
It is.
Than any other profession I've ever seen.
Now I want you, when you, obviously you're so fresh out of it, man. I mean, you probably don't even, you graduated, right? Did you graduate in December or what?
Yes, sir. I graduated December. Yes, sir.
What was your degree?
I had a major in exercise science and had a double minor in psychology and nutrition.
Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. So you probably don't even have a diploma. We asked that to Colin. You probably don't have your diploma yet. They haven't even shipped it to you yet.
No, probably not.
So if you could think back, just some highlights, when I think back your time at App State living in Boone, North Carolina, what are some of the memories that flash in front of your eyes when you think about your time playing at App State? What moments?
Like on the field or
anything,
off the field?
Man, anything, the whole thing.
On the field, it's definitely my first pick, 2016 versus Idaho.
Cool.
That was a great feeling. And then first Sun Belt Championship game, that was incredible. Just like so many fans were there. Just, I mean, it felt like a real championship game. But I never really played in one in high school, really. And that felt like a real live championship. And then definitely my pick six this year in the championship, man. That was incredible. That was my first pick this year. Like, it was the only one I caught, and just it felt like all my hard work had paid off. And off the field, man, just I'm just gonna miss being in the locker room with my guys. And then definitely my apartment, my house, and my friends, man. I stayed with Colin this year. Colin knows he's my guy, but I got to go back to my old squad, staying in cottages with Mark Adams, Anthony Florey, Victor Johnson, and Alex Taylor. Those were my guys, man. We all stayed in the same house, and it was so much fun living with those guys, man. We all became such close friends, and we talked to each other literally every day. And so I always have those memories just living with those guys for 2 years, man. It was 3 years. It was so much fun. It was laughs literally whenever, there was never a boring day in that house, honestly.
If you could have one game back to play again to change the outcome, what is it?
Oh. I know a lot of people think I'm going to say Georgia Southern this year, but I would say Penn State 2018. I felt we should have had that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one would have been the one. That would have been a top 10 win, on another top 10 win in the Big Ten on the road. I definitely wanted that one.
Nah, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know what, man? We've enjoyed talking to you. Anytime we've been able to engage with you over the last 5 years has been awesome. You're a real nice guy, sharp guy. You've done a great job on the field. It's been great watching you. I mean, literally, we probably have watched every snap you've ever played on defense. So we've really enjoyed it. And thanks for spending time with us here this evening. Talk about some memories and we've been talking about everything just about, but we want you to come back down the road. Don't forget who we are when you become, world famous, pick sixes in the Super Bowl and whatever. But thank you for your time, Josh.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, man. I love being on Black and Gold Podcast. Thank y'all for having me, and I'll definitely be back anytime, man. Y'all have a good one. God bless.
Thanks so much, Josh.